Blog Talk Radio.
James Bond, Secure Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and that is available to you here at blogtalkradio.com, the much vaunted, extremely praised, highly technologically advanced West world of Blog Talk Radio, where nothing, absolutely nothing, can go wrong. Anyway, it's good to be here with you. I hope you had a great Easter. We're coming off the Easter weekend. And, you know, right off the bat, before we get started, I was talking with some of the production people before the show got started. We were in production talks. And Melissa was telling me that there had been a shooting at the YouTube corporate headquarters, San Bruno, California. Interestingly enough, in this particular instance, the murderer is a murderess. It is a female. She has been shot and killed. Now, whether she shot herself and died or whether she was killed by police officers, I'm not exactly sure about that yet. It only happened a few hours ago, and you know how these things go. They like to keep a lid on everything until they get their story straight, regardless of what the truth may be. And then tell you what happened. Some of you may not be aware of the fact, but about 2 weeks ago in Florida, a woman drove, you might have saw the kind of a sterilized gloss over story. Woman drove a car into a police precinct headquarters down in Florida. Can't remember exactly where it was, but well, she did. And nowhere in the article did it tell you that the chick had been radicalized at a local mosque that has a history of radicalizing people. Must have been Orlando, because I think that was where Omar Mateen was, right? And that was the mask. That was the mosque that he was associated with, the Pulse nightclub murderer. So anyway, so we don't exactly know what's going on here. I don't have any clues to the motive. They can say that it's not connected to terrorism, but if you go into a place, you know, a public place and or a place of business or, you know, an environment like what we see here at YouTube, some kind of corporate type setting, and you start shooting people, it doesn't matter who you're, you know, affiliated with. It's a terrorist attack. So we'll see what's going on. But like I said, interestingly, it is a female. It's the shooter. Like I said, she's dead now. Whether she killed herself or shot by law enforcement, I'm not exactly sure. And we'll probably figure it out. We'll look into this, and maybe by the bottom of the hour, we can have something more on this. But it's a gun thing, and you know what that means. That means that before, and I'm sure, I'm not exactly sure how many. But the last report I saw, there were fatalities. People have been killed here, and others have been wounded. So it's just tragedy all the way around. And these people will not even be picked up from gurneys. The blood won't even be washed off the walls and the floors before the left and that little hog boy will be out there doing their thing. And just for kicks, while you're listening to the program, Google, see if you can find out the political affiliation of the mayor of San Bruno, California. San Bruno, California, of course, where this tragedy, this murder, this crime has been committed. And his name is Jim Ruhane, Ruhane. Mayor Bruno, San Bruno, California. See what his political ideology is. And what's going to happen is they're going to say, and David Hogg, I think that's his name, David Hogg and that little bald-headed girl, I can't remember her name, and I'm not trying to be real respectful. I'm not exactly making an effort at it because these poor empty-headed children, they're just human shields for the left. They throw these kids out here. Whoa, if they say anything about him, well, shame on you for attacking a kid, you know. So anyway, Hogg, the little hog man, and this little bald-headed girl that must be a little bald-headed boy, they're going to drag these cats out. They'll be in California. They'll be at San Bruno, and they'll be, you know, doing their thing, talking about this. Came across an article while I was thinking about this earlier. I used it on the show. By the way, you know, we do this live twice a week. We do it tonight, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here at the Patriot Nation Radio Network Studios, and we do this at blogtalkradio.com. Also on Thursdays, both Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursdays, we're back-to-back with our good friend and our longtime wingman, Mark Hoffman, from Patriot Nation Radio Live. ACP takes care of things from 7 to 8. Mark breaks it down from 8 to 9 on Thursdays. He also does a show live on Mondays as well. We're looking at expanding the programming here at the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and we look forward to bringing some more programs online here in the next few months as they come available. And we do a recorded version of A Conservative Perspective. And you can find that at the Talk America Radio Network, talkamericaradio.org. There are two different streams there that you can listen to, the Liberty and Justice streams. ACP is heard on both of those. Outstanding programming, outstanding hosts. You don't want to miss any of the stuff that's going on over there. I am honored to be among them. Now back to this gun deal. Guns and gun crime is the new climate change. Okay, this is a new cause celeb now for the left. And people that don't know anything at all about the subject are suddenly experts, like this little hog boy and that little bald-headed girl. And what they want you to believe, what the left wants you to believe, what Hillary Clinton, what MSNBC, CNN, Headline News, ABC, CBS, NBC, all of them. They all want you to believe one thing, and that is this. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, they want you to believe that there is an epidemic, a nationwide epidemic from one end of the country to the other of gun crimes. That's what they want you to believe. And that is not true. Now, what is true is that there are gun crime epidemics in many locales, in many cities. And the question that I would like to put to you is, who do you think runs the vast majority of those cities? Do you think they're run by NRA-funded Republicans? No, no. Do you think they are run by lobbyists for firearms manufacturers? No. The vast majority of those cities have been run by Democrats for decades upon decades. Now, I've got two lists here I want to share with you. By the way, this information comes from a fellow by the name of Rich Loges. He's a podcaster, radio guy. He has a show, The Rich Loges Show, which he's the host of, and you can find that at therichlogesshow.com, L-O-G-I-S, Loges. I hope I'm saying that right. And he's got a book coming out, Warning Signs, 10 Warning Signs, that your child is becoming a Democrat. Now, I have these lists, okay? The first list is the top 20 cities with the highest gun murder rates in the United States per capita. Of these 20 cities, and I'm going to read the names to you, every city except one, Tulsa, Oklahoma, has a Democrat majority in the mayoralty and city council or board of aldermen. So these cities are run overwhelmingly by what? By Democrats. Top 20 cities with the highest gun murder rates in the United States. Here they are in ascending and descending order. New Orleans, Detroit, St. Louis, Baltimore, Oakland, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Memphis, Buffalo, Washington, D.C., Stockton, I'm guessing that's Stockton, California, Miami, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Indianapolis, and Tulsa. Now, I have another list that I'm going to share with you. This particular list, as opposed to being the top 20 cities with the highest gun murder rates, this list is the top 20 cities with the highest number of non-fatal shootings. In other words, you get shot, but you don't die. Maybe you lose an eye. Maybe you never walk again. Maybe you lose a leg at the knee or something like that. But here's the cities there. St. Louis, Memphis, Oakland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, Baltimore, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, Kansas City, Philadelphia, New Orleans, Minneapolis, Louisville, Houston, Columbus, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville. Now, if you noticed in those lists, there was an overlap on several of the cities. And the cities that were on the non-fatal list that weren't also on the murder list are Democrat-run cities as well, except for one, Jacksonville. So just to give you an idea of how long these people have been entrenched, government leadership, the Democrat leadership has been entrenched in the politics and running of these cities, these are all on the top 20 lists. The cities I'm talking about, and I got five of them here. in St. Louis, they've had only Democrat mayors and a 90% Democrat city council for 15,000 days. Hang on, there's a reason we do it in days. Number two, Baltimore has had only Democrat mayors and only Democrat city council. Democrat mayor, nothing but Democrats in the city council, 18,000 days. Philadelphia, only Democrat mayors and a 90% Democrat city council, 20,000 days. Detroit, only Democrat mayors, a 90% Democrat city council, 22,000 days. Chicago, they've had nothing but Democrat mayors and 90% Democrat city council for 30,000 days. Democrats, just to put this in perspective, Democrats have ruled Chicago longer than Stalin ruled the USSR or the Castros in Cuba or the Kims in North Korea. And they have ruled Chicago longer than slavery was legal in the United States. That's not all. These that I'm getting ready to share with you are, according to FBI statistics, the next top 10 cities I'm going to share with you are the most cities. Detroit. 1,913 violent crimes per 188 murders. We'll just go with the murders. Memphis, 196 murders per 100,000 people. Baltimore, Maryland, 200 murders per 1K. Rockville, 26 per 100K. Kansas City, per 100,000. Cleveland, Ohio, 42. California, 85 murders per 100,000 residents. Again, every city is Democrat controlled. St. Louis, Baltimore, Detroit, and New Orleans crack the top 50 for the most dangerous cities on the planet. New Orleans has elected only Democrat mayors for the last 55,000 consecutive days. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States as a nation has only existed for 88,000 days. New Orleans has elected only Democrat mayors for the last 55,000 consecutive days. So what happens, as you can see, Democrats sell their local gun crime epidemics that they're responsible for because of poor leadership as national gun crime epidemics. We think because it's happening in these 20 cities and that we're seeing these shocking statistics coming, that it's happening all over the country, and it is not. The data on it fundamentally is mixed, but depending upon the study, overall, the evidence points that since the 1990s, gun violence and homicides on a national level have fundamentally declined, except not in Democrat-controlled cities. And what they'll do to add to this number, the Democrats will always pad the statistics by mixing in gun-related deaths from suicide or, say, from suspects shot and killed because they had to gun it out with the police. So they dilute it. They, instead of taking simply murders, homicides caused by guns, they add in suicides by guns. They add in suspects shot and killed by law enforcement with guns. Statistics don't lie. Statisticians lie, but statistics don't lie. And when it comes to the statistics and the faulty numbers that the Democrats and the gun grabbers throw out, one of two things is at work with these folks. Number one, they don't fully understand that these epidemics they're talking about are not national, but fundamentally they're isolated to Democrat city monopolies. In other words, cities where Democrat political rule has been the order of the day for a long, long time. And if they don't understand this, then that makes them dangerously ignorant. Or they do know, and they're throwing it out there anyway, making it look like a national epidemic. Well, then they're not, you know, dangerously ignorant. They're just plain old dangerous, just like the cities they rule. So we have these little kids that are the poster children for this. Now, if you ask me, honestly and truly, it seems as though there's some exploitation going on here. There's some abuse going on here. And it comes from the people that are using these empty heads as their front pieces. Everything that David Hogg says, his talking points, are thought out for him. There's not an original thought in David Hogg's head, or that little bald-headed girl, either one, or any of the alleged survivors. And I say that, I'm kind of sketchy about saying that, but apparently David Hogg's calling himself a survivor, and he wasn't there at the school. He was away. He went to the school. When he found out what was going on, he jumped on his bicycle and he bicycled to the school as quickly as he could to do I don't know what. Anyway, and then there's another story where he says he was there and he survived it. Well, if we go by David Hogg's definition, yeah, we all survived it. I'm a survivor too because I didn't get shot either. Granted, I was 1,200 miles away, but if we go by his definition, we're all survivors of that shooting. So they have these kids up there. And like I said, again, I think it is exploitive and abusive what they're doing with these kids, because these guys are just empty heads. They are just empty heads, and they're filling them with this poison, with this toxin. And the sad thing about it is, it's like I talked about this on the weekend show too. It's like what Andy Warhol said, you know, they got their 15 minutes of fame. I think he said eventually everybody on earth will be famous for 15 minutes is how the quote was. And so, you know, these guys, you know, they're getting their 15 minutes of fame. This news cycle is going to fade. Something else is going to happen. And people are just going to get tired of this guy and this little bald-headed girl. And the left is going to realize, well, you know, these guys are doing more harm than they are good, so we need to abandon them. But these poor kids think that what they're doing is real. They think they're doing something significant. They're cannon fodder. They're useful idiots, and they think this is going to last forever. They're going to be like Washington. Dickie Roberts, former child star. That's what these guys are going to be. They're going to be remember when political kid stars. Going on activist cruises and, you know, that kind of thing. So don't focus on the kids. Focus on what's going to be on. And the way we beat this narrative of what the kids are saying is by we tell the entire story. Like, where are these dudes coming from? Where are they getting their money? Who's paying for this? Well, you know it's not these kids. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's like, you know, a Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland movie. Hey, guys, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put on a demonstration. We're going to do it over in old man Willoughby's barn. We'll get curtains. It's Soros people. I mean, these things are huge. That March for Our Lives, that youth March for Our Lives, the average age of those youths, 49 years old. That's look behind the kids. Look where the money's coming from. Look who's paying for it. That's all you got to do. And it doesn't take much. Oh, man, down to the bottom of the hour. So I think what we're going to do here is ease on into a little music. You know how I am about that. I've got to go through it. And, okay, I think we're ready. We will be back with more of a conservative perspective right after this brief musical interlude. I got to get something to drink because, quite frankly, all this talking makes a man thirsty. I didn't really mean to go as long on this whole gun thing, but you get the idea. The epidemic is not national. It's just in the major cities where the Democrats have been in power for forever. 55. New Orleans has had nothing but Democrat mayors for 55,000 days. America's been a nation for 88,000 days. Think about that. Back after this.
Drink to me only. That's all I ask. And I will drink to you. How long I've been on? I don't care if the sun don't shine. I do my drinking in the evening time when I'm in Las Vegas. You can sit in the sun and camp. I get my color from a sunray lamp when I'm in Las Vegas. I love the laughs and love the life. There's fun of every kind. Next time I come, I'll bring my wife. I'll do that if I lose my mind. A wife in Vegas, take my advice. It's like going to China with a sack of rice. But I love Las Vegas. I love Vegas in the summer. I love it in the fall. I love Vegas, may I say that it's a gasser, yeah. I love Vegas like it's Egypt, and I am Nasser. I love Vegas every moment. Ooh, it's my favorite atmosphere. I love Vegas. Why do I love Vegas? Because my money's here. I love Vegas when I'm winning. I love it when I lose. I love Vegas like the army loves its manuals. I love Vegas like Sinatra loves Jack Daniels. I love Vegas every moment. For Mr. Untrotter, I must cheer. Hey, you smart boy. I love Vegas. Ach, du lieber, do I love Vegas. Because my blood is here. I love Vegas when I'm loaded. I love Vegas when I am not. I love Vegas, just like Khrushchev loves being indignant, more than even My wife Jeannie loves being pregnant. I love bacon every moment. When I leave, I shed a tear. I love Vegas. I'll make it good and clear. It's because my girl's right here.
Thank you very much, Dino. Okay, James Bostic back with Conservative Perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio Network. Now, as I told you at the top of the hour, we do this a couple times a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tuesdays, we stand alone. Thursdays, we're back-to-back with our man, the vision behind the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and that, of course, Mark Hoffman with Patriot Nation Radio Live. Outstanding programming. Thank you. And you don't want to miss what, Mark's always got a compelling story that he's talking about. Show Monday, he has a show that stands alone. And we're looking at expanding again. We're looking at expanding programming here on Patriot Nation Radio Network. You got a program? You think you got a program? You think you got what it takes to be an on-air personality, brother? Well, come on, then. Said, you know what? Hey, maybe you do. Send us your stuff. We didn't think we did, but here we are on the radio. So, we didn't let it stop us. Why don't you let it stop you? I don't know what. I tell you. I'm going to take a big chance here. And I'm going to roll up to American Thinker. I thought I had it in. If you guys have Mozilla, by any chance, Firefox, there is a little option that they have called the Pocket. Like a bookmark.
Hey, here we are again. I'm going to try this one more time. Hopefully, I'm on the air. So what we're going to do is I'm going to hang up. I'm going to end my call, but then I'm going to call back. Okay, so I'm on the speakerphone right now, and hopefully this is going to work. We'll see. You're going to have to send that to the inbox on Facebook. That's where I'm going to need you to do that. Okay, because I can't see it here. Just relax. Just stand by. Hopefully, we'll get the square away. This happened last week. This happens with these dudes, and it really kind of bums me out. And we seem to be powerless to do anything about it. So hopefully, when I get rejoined here, we'll see what's going on. Okay, you hear me now, but let's see if you're going to hear me in a minute.
Start your show now.
Oh, for the love of God, yes. There's the British chick.
How about that? Okay. Looks like we're back on the air. So, having done that, I apologize. I'm not exactly sure where we left off on that. So, lesson learned. We know what to do now. This happened last week, and I kind of accidentally discovered this technique. So as soon as we get used to doing it, it's going to fail. Now let's go back to the resurrection and what we were talking about there. Christianity's claim, the basic premise, is that man is flawed, so flawed that we can't set it right with God. It's going to be up to God to set it right with us. So that's what Christianity says happened. Christianity claims the Creator did come down to earth with the purpose of reconciling us in the person of Jesus. Jesus would absorb all the wrongs of mankind unto himself to balance the books, to clear out the account. Now, again, the idea of suffering on someone else's behalf and martyrdom is not new in any religion, but Christianity takes this concept one step forward, a large step, and they make this claim. And that claim is this: God, as he was in Jesus, the Son of God, would not be held by death. He would come out of the grave. And this resurrection is the signature. This is how we know that Christ did indeed set things right between God and man. We just kind of accept this. Many of us, I mean, who came out of nominal Christian homes, doesn't matter what denomination, you just kind of accept this. But if we really look at it, if it's true, and we have no reason to disbelieve that it isn't, if it's true, this one thing, the resurrection. There have been many crucifixions. There have been many floggings and beatings. And there had been, you know, many martyrs killed in the name of their religions or whatever. There's only been one resurrection. And if we think about that, that should stop us dead in our tracks and make us sit there for a while. No other religion makes this claim. None. Muhammad did not claim to die for our sins, nor did he resurrect. He admitted instead that he had his own sins. Hinduism offers mankind just the possibility of setting things right through a process of endless reincarnations, with, you know, the idea that over time you'll eventually arrive at perfection. The problem is that even if humans arrive at perfection, it doesn't do away with all that bad karma accumulated from the prior reincarnations. If anything, the hidden flaw about Hinduism is that each reincarnation only makes your problem worse, with an endless accretion of bad karma. Buddhism, outgrowth of Hinduism, the same flaw. But what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Was he like other human beings in being sinful? Well, Christianity addresses the problem by saying that Jesus was unique in his sinlessness by virtue of the fact that he is God. Therefore, he didn't have a sinful nature. A unique case. In the Old Testament, they said this about Jesus: he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now this is the suffering servant passage that comes out of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. Some people say that this passage, instead of referring to Jesus, refers to Israel, to the Jewish people. But in that verse I just read, it said that we, meaning the Jewish people, did not esteem him. They're talking about Jesus. Now the whole thing, the whole process, is conditioned on this one thing. It's conditioned on this person, Jesus, coming out of the grave. If he didn't resurrect, he would have been as sinful as the rest of us, deserving of death, and unable to pay for anyone else's sins. But if he were the Son of God, he would be infinite in value, and his sacrifice could atone for whoever accepted it. So the fact is that if Jesus did not come out of that grave, then Christianity is pointless, despite whatever liberal preachers might have to say about it. Christianity is not positive thinking or a good attitude. Either Christ came out of that grave, or the whole religion is a fraud. Paul wrote, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. But if Jesus did come out of that grave, then all of history changes, and the ramifications of those changes are immense. Number one, Islam is false. Number two, Hinduism is false. Buddhism, false. Rabbinic Judaism, which rejects Christ, is incomplete. If he came out of that grave, then he is the only way to God. Think about it. If we could save ourselves, why would God have even sent Jesus to die for us and then resurrect? We can't earn our way back to heaven. Our good deeds will not save us. Christianity, though producing a tolerant civilization, makes a unique claim. Not only is there only one God, and both Judaism and Islam agree on that point, but the only way to approach that God is through his son, which both Islam and Rabbinic Judaism deny. So the first thing you have to do, if you haven't decided already, is to settle it once and for all. Did Jesus come out of that grave? If he did, then that is a very inconvenient fact for much of the world, including merely nominal Christians. But it would also make it the central drama of all of history. So what do you think? Did he come out of that grave? When they went to see him on that third day, was the stone rolled away? Was he gone? Because if he didn't, if that did not happen, then it's all a fraud. The entire concept of Christianity is a fraud. Can that be? But that's an individual thing. I mean, you know, that's you look at the evidence and you make a decision. Now, I know there are some people that would say, well, you know, all these guys are writing about it after the fact, and sometimes it was, you know, a couple hundred years after the fact, and things have been changed and things have been edited, I'll give you those things. But like an article I read the other day pointed out, it was a similar article to this. We don't question the life and the activities of Alexander the Great, for example. And the reason I use Alexander the Great is because that's the example they use. Now, we know a lot about Alexander's life, but it came from historians who lived 400 years after the fact. So as far as, you know, yeah, these guys wrote about Jesus doing all this stuff, but they wrote about it a long time after the events took place, and their interpretations may be hazy or they may be false, which I don't think. But again, this is something I can't make that decision for you. You can't make it for me. It's a very individual thing. So like you said up here, how did they say it? If he didn't come out of that grave, Christianity is pointless. Either Christ came out of that grave or the whole religion is a fraud. But if he did come out of that grave, then all of history changes. I hope you guys had a safe and happy Easter, by the way. You know, one of the things, I'm going to kind of lighten things up because that's a heavy thing to think about. And I've read this article a couple of times. Like I said, I read it Sunday for the Talk America version of a conservative perspective. And I had read it once and kind of just to make sure I wasn't going to flub it up because I kind of thought, you know, I had digested the meat of the article, but it's like every time I read it, I come away with a little bit more, and it's kind of cooked down pretty simple. And that's kind of a heavy thing to think of, and you should be thinking about it, but we're going to move on. Sometime in the early 1970s, 1970-1971, Paramount Pictures re-released The Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, directed by Cecil B. DeMille. And I was about 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, and me and my older brother Bernie and some of the other guys in the neighborhood, we walked uptown to the Beckley Theater to see this. I had never seen it before. And the Beckley Theater in its heyday, had been a pretty classy joint. But it was kind of run down, and, you know, they didn't have to do too much to keep it. It was like it was the only game in town. It was the only movie theater in town. So, you know, they didn't have to worry too much about upkeep because if you're going to go to the movies, you're going to go. So we went, and we watched this picture, and, I mean, you know, it's a huge thing. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't watched it in a long time, watch it, and then think about, you know, CGI scenes similar to what you would see, big crowd scenes. You know, there's thousands of people in some of these scenes, like the exodus from Egypt and the scenes where they're building the trophy city and all this stuff. And it's star-studded. It's Technicolor. It's, you know, it's this big splashy thing. And I was mesmerized as a kid. I mean, I was spellbound by this picture, by the color, by the music, by the story itself, and it was, you know, it was just, and I was just spellbound by it. And then, of course, you know, ABC, which I found out still runs it over the Easter weekend, back in the old timey days when there were only three channels, they ran the first part Saturday night on the ABC Saturday Night Movie, and then they ran the second part Easter Sunday on Sunday night. And it, you know, it was a huge thing, and we didn't miss it. And then eventually I got my own copy and I watched it. I watched it again. I try to watch it every Easter, and everybody has those movies. Ben-Hur is another one that they like to drag out at Easter. And that's a good story too. And I suppose had I seen it first instead of the Ten Commandments, I would probably gravitate toward it because they're both great biblical epics, great spiritual stories. And that's my tradition. And I got to watch it, and I thought, really, but you know, the stories, I don't want to get into all the Old Testament stuff and everything, but you have this guy, literally, he is a prince of Egypt. He has at his feet the cradle of civilization. He is loved and treasured beyond Pharaoh's own son. All he had to do was keep his mouth shut. Just, you know, act like this didn't happen, that he wasn't born a Jew. He wasn't born a Hebrew slave. And, you know, had been part of this huge trick that had been played on the house of Pharaoh. So he realizes who he is, who he really is. And he goes from who he thought he was, whom he had been all his life, a prince, soon to be king of, at its time, probably the greatest and richest nation on earth. But then he finds out otherwise. and he can't allow himself, excuse me, he can't allow himself to be dishonest and keep it secret and take these things that, weren't for him. And so it's all taken away. All of it's taken away. He goes back to the life of a slave. Then he's banished. He's thrown out of Egypt. He goes across the Sinai Desert, and these things happen to him, these changes that really, truly bring him wealth, spiritual, vast spiritual wealth. Oh, we're down at the bottom of the hour, man. I'm almost done here. And he, too, finds his redemption. Great movie. You got to watch that. You got to watch that. If you haven't, and if it's been a long time since you've seen it, do yourself a favor. While we're still about halfway in the Easter mode here at springtime, check that out. ACP, live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And their studios can be found and listened to at blogtalkradio.com. We also do a recorded version of the show. Thank you, Bridget, to be posted with the Talk America Radio Network. And that's talkamericaradio.org. Outstanding programming, outstanding hosts. All the time we've got. Thank you so much. We'll be back here at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, coming up on Thursday, when we will be taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Y'all take care. We'll see you Thursday.